it is good to be here. I don't know if you feel that way, but I sure do, because the Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Truly, God has blessed us to come once more in this sacred space to worship him. And as we turn our attention to God's holy word, I invite you to join me in Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Among the Psalms, this one may be listed among your favorites. At least it was among the favorites of those in the Hebrew time who are making their way to worship. This is a psalm of ascent, Psalm 121. When you make your way there, you see words similar to these. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He would not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Help, Holy Spirit, we want to look at this text with this question that needs to be answered individually and personally in our minds. It's right there in the first verse where he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? Would you bow with me? Father, here we are gathered in your presence, and we thank you so much that you've blessed us to be able to once more be in this sacred space where we can lift up praises unto you, for you indeed are worthy. And now as our attention is turned towards your word, we ask that you would transform our hearts and minds that we might be receptive soil for the seed of your word. That your word might be deeply invested in our lives, that it might produce fruit for your glory, that we might learn to trust you more and love each other better, is our prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Well, among the mission groups that were referenced by Brent, I was just recently with a team in the land of Kenya. There we were in Kenya. Some part of me is still there. I'm trying to get over the jet lag deal. But there we were as God blessed us with the opportunity to minister to those who are impoverished, those who at one time had been victims of abuse, abandonment, trafficking. We were able to speak into the lives of young people, young children, and really place them surrounded by the love of Christ. That happens because of your generous gifts as well as the willingness for our members to go out on missions. So there we were in Kenya. Some of them are in here. I saw Trisha, I saw Leslie, so we're in the place. And there they can recount what happened. For after all of our ministry within the hard, oppressed areas of that country, there in the city of Nairobi, we gathered on Sunday for worship. When I say we gathered for worship, I mean, that's exactly what we did. As natives came walking miles to join us in worship, and we together worshiped. I won't tell you how long we worshiped because that might offend some of your sensitivities. But we sung, and we sung, and we sung, and we sung again, and then we sung some more. And Brent, they didn't have planning center, so we just kept on singing. I know we're Baptists. We did a little dancing too. But we kept on singing and worshiping. And then that time came that the team was not expecting, where the worship leader then turns with an expectation that everybody would participate in the program. And she said, you all, the team from Champion Forest, why don't you come up and lead us in a song? I looked at the team, and only one member was a part of the choir. We did our best, to do what was requested of us. And as God blessed us as we were concluding that time of worship, Andy, let me tell you how it went down. We began to set the table for lunch and began to see the kids go about. But one song continued to be repeated over and over again. It started with a question that required an answer. The question was, tell me who has the final say? The response is supposed to be, Jehovah has the final say. Tell me who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Tell me who has the final say? Come on with me in Kenya. There we are. We're worshiping. And now it concluded. But all of a sudden, I began to hear something. As the tables were being set, I began to hear little children still singing the same song. Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. I walked outside, and they were playing soccer. And while they were playing soccer, they were singing. Jehovah has the final say. I said, Lord, have mercy. I wish in my heart that we could have that kind of song running in our lives to know that God always has the final say. It was a repetition. It was a recitation where they kept singing the song. That's really a reflection of what Psalm 121 is all about. For this particular passage, this is really a song. Some of your Bibles may declare it a song of ascent. It's a song that those on their pilgrimage to worship God in the holy city would sing while they were on their way. It was the playlist of ascension for about 15 psalms between Psalm 120 and Psalm 134 where we're put on repeat as believers would navigate the difficult terrain in order to make their way from the valley to the holy city. We know that they're in a valley because when you look at the context of this text, the psalmist begins by saying, I look to the hills. So he's in a lower proximity as he's looking to the hills. The hills, seven mountains or mountainous hills surround the city of Jerusalem, and all of their peaks are about over 2,000 feet in height, greater than the city that it surrounds. So before he can even see the holy city, he sees what's in front of him that may be an obstacle from he and his caravan getting to the place of worship. I hope you catch this. While they were on their way to worship, somebody decided to worship. I think you missed it already. While they were navigating the topography that was before them, they were in a posture and disposition to worship. And as he's worshiping, he's looking out in the distance and he's seeing a scene that seems greater than his ability to accomplish. I'm right there in the text. For he says, I'm looking to the hills, this mountainous terrain. And this is a time in which there are no roadways. No. There are no drives. There are no well-secured pathways throughout the mountain. No, the mountain could be a dangerous place. Slippery slopes and curvaceous curves that can cause harm to travelers as they're going along the way. But if that were not enough, there were dangers hiding out in the mountains that would be planning to capitalize on an opportunity to take advantage of those who were in the caravan. The mountains were a dangerous place. And as he looks into his future, he asked the question in the song, where does my help come from? Well, let me ask you that perhaps your vision of your future and what's in front of you may seem mountainous. It may seem like treacherous terrain, and you may be coming in here and you've asked yourself a question as you look out what you have to face on Monday and on Tuesday, as you look at what you have to face when you get home, as you look at what you have to face when you go back on the job, you may ask the question, where does my help come from? I pray that you realize we all need help. You don't believe me? I don't think your neighbor believes me. Tell them, say, you need help. We all need help. And God is the help that we need. I'm gonna say it one more time to make sure you heard it, that we all are in need of help. and God. God is the only source of help that can address all the needs in our lives. We need help, and God is the help we need. I'm in the text. Because he answers the question. When he says, where does my help come from? He says, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. God said in Isaiah 41 and 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Don't miss this. God wants to help you. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed some help and the people you went to, the person you went to, wasn't in position to help you? None of you? You know, these questions aren't rhetorical. I'm really asking the question. I was there. I was there when we made our way from Kenya. When I was on my way to Kenya, I had a plan with my carrier. I'm not going to announce their name because they're guilty. But anyway, I had a plan with my carrier. I got an international plan because I wanted to stay in connection with the family. So there I was in the land of Kenya with this international plan. Everything worked pretty good as much as it could. But then when I got home, something happened. Debbie, when I got home, my phone that was set to receive international calls wouldn't receive local calls. You're not with me in this place. The phone that I bought in America, that I brought with me to Kenya, when I got back to America, wasn't working in America. I then called the carrier and began to converse with them about the problem that I was facing. And the young lady, she was nice on the phone, right? She was actually very cordial. And when I told her my problem, she said, oh, I'm sorry, but I can't help you with the problem because I don't have the authority. You have to call back on Monday. Now, look here. Much money as I spent on the cell phone, I expected her to help me with the problem. And then what really got me, so I was trying to be patient, but really got me that after we concluded her saying she doesn't have the authority, she had the audacity to ask me, now have I addressed all your concerns? I said, no, you didn't address my concerns because you don't have the authority to address my concerns. Come here. I'm just trying to help you understand something, that God, when you come to him, he is the helper that has all authority, that there's nothing that you're facing that our God cannot handle. I'm in the text because he says, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He's appealing to Genesis 1 that says, in the beginning, God, let's park there for a moment, created the heavens and the earth, which means God created everything, and before there was nothing, and when God said it, it became a thing. And then John says that Jesus Christ, our Savior, was made flesh, that he was in the beginning, and all things that were created were created through him, and without him, there was nothing made that was made. Get this. He says, then my Lord, that God who creates everything, is the one who can help me deal with the things that are in my circumstances around me. So I'm not appealing to the hills for help. I'm appealing to the creator of the hills to come on and help me. I hope you see this. Don't close your Bibles. Because if you're looking for the first point to live by, to inform your trust in God, is right there in the text, and that is God is a helper. Did you hear me? He's a helper. Not the kind of helper that comes behind you to follow you. No. Because this context, the word that is used here is a helper that goes before you. That the Lord, when he is your Lord, he goes before you and he helps you get through what you're going through. I hope you caught that. You know what? I'm going to calm down. I get excited sometimes. You know what I mean? But I got a personal testimony within me that tells me that our God is able to get me through. Not only is he available, but he's able. If you just call upon him, you'll realize that he is right there to help you. He says, my help comes from the Lord. Do you see it? Something interesting here. He starts the conversation, he starts the song with a question, but then he turns around and he answers his own question. Some of you can relate. It's called an internal monologue. Okay, you're looking like you're disconnecting from me. You talk to yourself. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's talking to himself. But notice his talk to himself aligns with the truth of who God is. And when you talk to yourself, make sure you tell yourself the truth. And you know the truth when you see it through the lens of the power of Almighty God. That no matter what I'm going through, God is greater than. God wants us to have a bold confidence that we are talking to the Lord who delights in supplying our need. I hope you get this. The psalmist declares in Psalm 18, "In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help from his temple. He heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." God wants us to have bold confidence. So we can say like the psalmist in Psalm 46, "God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble." And hear me, if you're not in trouble, you're going to get in trouble, or you've been in trouble. And if you've been in trouble, the kind of trouble you couldn't get yourself out of, and you called upon the Lord, then you know that he's the kind of God that can guide you out of some trouble. You know what? I knew right about there. I don't need to get my own witness. And so I went down into the New Testament, and the text says that there was a woman with a medical issue, and she was in trouble. But when she got to Jesus, she realized he's a help out of her trouble. Her medical issue was dried up. I knew I needed some help here. So I asked blind Bartimaeus about his testimony, and he said that he was born in trouble, and he couldn't see a future for himself. But when he got connected with Jesus, Jesus opened his eyes, and he was able to see Christ for himself. I knew I had to come with my own witness here. I ran into a man who was hanging out on a cross. He knew he was guilty from the jump. And there he looked at Jesus and just made one request: "Remember me." And Christ said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Hold on, that's not just a biblical witness. There's some folk out here in the congregation who could testify that when I was in trouble, he heard me. When I called upon him, he saved me. And when I didn't think I was going to get out of it, he delivered me. I'm in the text because he then says in verse 3, he shifts to our second point that tells us about the character and ability of God. He says, not only is God our helper, but look at verse 3. He says, God is our keeper. In fact, from verse 3 to verse 8, he is rather repetitive in this Hebrew word shamar that declares that God is a keeper. Right there in verse 3, he says, "He, God, will not let your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." That the Lord help is most effective because he's able, get this, he's able to steady us when things are unsteady in our lives. He's the kind of God that when we place our trust in him and we stand on the truth of his word, that he's able to hold things together even when circumstances seem to be falling apart. He's the God, as the psalmist says, who establishes our steps. For the Bible says in Psalm 37, "The steps of a good man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand." You will know how to be steady in uncertain circumstances. You will know how to be steady in uncertain circumstances. You can have the certainty that God is holding you. And when God is holding you, not the devil in hell can get you out of his hands. That you are secure in him. I was there because just this last Friday, a young couple of the church just had a baby, and I went there to support them. And so there we were praying over the baby, celebrating what God was doing, and it was just a wonderful time. But then I left that hospital room, and I was trying to get out of the hospital, but something happened. That as I was walking out of the hospital, I started to see some lights flashing. I was walking out of that particular department, and I got to the door, Jeff, and I'm pushing the door, but the door wouldn't open. I pushed it again, and the door wouldn't open. I got things to do. I'm a busy pastor. I got to go. And so I did my part. I prayed for the baby. I did that. But I'm trying to get out. I'm trying to get out. And the nurse says, no matter how much you push, you won't be able to get out. I said, why am I stuck on the inside of this department. She said, oh, because an alert went off that somebody must have messed with the ankle bracelet that's around the baby that's always monitored. So when that is triggered, get this, she says, what has to stay in gets locked in, and what has to go out is locked out. You missed it. Let me help you one more time. She said, when the monitor was triggered, then the system, the department locked down all the doors to keep in what needs to stay in and to keep out what needs to stay out. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something. I told that nurse, baby, you're preaching to me. I'm going to tell Champion Forest on Sunday that when God has you and he's monitoring you, when there seems to be a slip in your life, he can lock down the department and keep you in his peace, keep you in his joy, keep you in his security. He keeps in what should be in, but get this, he keeps out what should be out. That when he is your foundation, he can keep out worry, he can keep out anxiety, he can keep out trouble. He is the kind of God who will keep you. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Listen, you want to live with security and peace and the assurance, you need to place your trust and your faith in God. Let me ask, is your footing monitored by the Lord? Or are you finding yourself stumbling, carried away by emotions and anxiety and worry? Let me encourage you, run to the cross. Run to Jesus, who has all authority, and he is able. That's the word right there. He is able to keep you. But I'm not done, because right there in verse 4, he says it again. He says, behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He says that the Lord, who we place our trust in, is our protector in the daytime and the nighttime, because God works the night shift. You're missing it. He works 360 degrees around your life. He is always monitoring what's happening in your life. But then there's verse 4 right there. You saw it, right? He said the reason many of us don't understand, have the confidence in God that we should, is because we haven't done that first word. It's right there. He said, behold. That means realize. That means become aware of. That means open your eyes and see that God is greater than any problem, any situation that may come in your life. Behold, God has kept Israel. Do you know anything about Israel? They were locked in Egyptian captivity, but God kept them, delivered them out of Pharaoh's captivity. They got to a dead end called the Red Sea, but God was still with them, and he kept them by parting the Red Sea. Then after the Red Sea was parted, he guided them to the promised land. But not just them, not just them. There's somebody in here said, you know what? I was enslaved to sin. I was in bondage to struggle, and God got me out. And while he got me out, he kept me. And when I thought I was at a dead end, and I couldn't go no more, I called on the name of the Lord, and he opened up doors that no man could close, and he kept me, and he brought me into the presence with his great power. Because our God, not only is he a helper, our God is a keeper. I told the sound man earlier, I said, look at man, my job is to speak, your job is to control the volume, because I get excited when I consider just how good God is. God is the kind of keeper that he's been keeping us even when we didn't want to be kept. We tell the truth in here, that God has been faithful throughout all our lives. And look what he says. Not only is God a keeper of the community, a protector of the community, in verse 5, he says the Lord is a keeper of those who trust in him. Look what he says. The Lord is a keeper. He's not a keeper, he's your keeper. Lord will be the shade on your right hand. Though the sun will not smite you by day and or the moon by night, why? Because the Lord will keep you. What he's saying and declaring that he's had experience enough with God to know that God is so good and so faithful that when elements try to destroy you, in the presence of the elements, God is still able to keep you. They're in the arid desert regions, and there is sunlight, and many would fall to sunstroke if it not were for some shade. Come on, you can relate to this because you've been in Houston in the summertime, and you know good and well that we need to value the shade. But don't miss this. He said, the Lord will be a shade upon you, which means even though the trouble, because the sun is still there, may be hot around you, God is still able to protect you. Who am I talking to in this place? Because the sun is in the daytime, and sometimes in life we can see the dangers that are coming to us in the daytime, and you're looking, where does my help come from? It comes from the same one who protects you not only in the daytime but also in the nighttime when you can't see. As the saints of old, you say, he protected me from danger seen and unseen, that God has been watching over you. I'm about done here. I hope you got the point. I mean, it's really two points in the text. That God is a, I got three people on this side. Y'all still with it, all right? Yeah. That God is what? Okay, yeah. And secondly, God is a what? Mm-hmm. You need to remember that. That should be on repeat in your mind and in your heart as you're navigating life, that God is a God who wants to help you, who is able to help you, and has the power to keep you. He has the power to keep you because the Lord is your keeper. He's your protector, and he's always there with you. Then he goes on. He says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. This word life doesn't just speak to the womb, to the tomb. This word life speaks to the extent of your life all the way into eternity, that God's keeping power is so good that when you are in Christ Jesus, you are secured in the family of God, and there's nothing that can take you out of the family, because when Christ came, he came as the way, and when you follow him in the way that he's called us to live, then he will always be there to keep us. I'm really there. He keeps us. But it's important for us that as we consider God's keeping power, that we stay connected to God. I'm going to say that one more time. It's important that as we consider God's keeping power, Lorraine, we stay connected to God. Okay, let me say it this way. Last service, they were a little slow to get it, but I know you're going to get this. You're going to get this. You're going to get this. Because just the other day, I was checking out the Astros. I was watching the Astros, and I began to see them running around the plates, and but the innings weren't looking in our favor. And so I was just checking them out. I was watching them. And you know what happens, right? That as you watch the game and you realize that we aren't performing the way you think we ought to perform, you kind of disconnect from the game. And so that's really what happened to me. I was sitting there, Mike, and I was just watching then the players. I started checking out the players, and I was looking at all the players. I look at the outfielders and infielders. I look at those who are up for bat, and I realized something. As I looked around the crowd, guess this, the one that had the most protection was the one who stayed on his knees. The balls may come, but he's protected because he's stays on it. I'm trying to help you understand something, that when you connect to God, who is the keeper, you stay connected on your knees, trusting God that if he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, but you have to stay connected and trust him to guide you through the process. It may look bad on the outside, but God is greater than anything that we come to, and he wants us to trust him that he is able. He's able to keep you. I know marriages tend to fall apart, and it's coming at the seams. Some of you right now in here, that may be your reality. But when you turn to God and trust in him, I want to tell you, he's able to keep you. There's somebody in here, you are about to give up on life. You're about to throw in the towel. But God sent you here on this day just to remind you that God can help you and that God can keep you. That God is able to hold us together. That's why Jude said it this way. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you blameless before his presence with glory and great joy. That Jesus Christ, when we come to him, he is able, no matter what we're going through, he's able to help you. Just a reminder, not only does he help you, but he's able to keep you. It was the hymnist Edith G. Cherry wrote that song that we used to sing back in the church I grew up in. Oh, to be kept by Jesus, to be kept by the power of God, to be kept from the world unspotted, treading where Jesus trod. Oh, to be kept by Jesus. Lord, at your feet I fall. I would be nothing, 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 but you, Lord, will be all in all. Oh, to be kept by Jesus. And there's some of you right now, you've been navigating this life by yourself, falling and tripping over. But let me go ahead and encourage you that there is one who is greater than all you go through, and he can carry you not only through what you're going through, but into his presence eternally, and that's Jesus Christ, our Savior. To be kept by him, to be held by him, means then that everything in your life, get this, that Christ is magnified, that no matter what you're going through, before you look at what you're going to, you look at the God who is with you. Did you catch that? That no matter what you're going through or what you're going to, before you focus too much on what you're going to, you focus on the God who is with you. Because when he is with you, you realize that he is magnified. He's magnified over every problem. He's magnified over every challenge. He is magnified when you say yes to Christ in your life. Christ will be magnified through your life, and you'll know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, that has nothing too hard for our God, that no matter what's going on in your life, God is able to speak peace in the midst of your storm. God is able to speak joy in the midst of your sadness. God is able to speak happiness and belonging. When everybody walks out on you, God will never leave you. I gotta leave it alone. I gotta leave it alone. It's time to go. Noah. No, forsake you. This Psalm 121 is a psalm of ascent, meaning that scholars believe they were singing this psalm on their way to worship. Oh, but also there's yet another truth in the text. When he says that he will be your keeper, he will keep you from your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore, that not only is this psalm preparing them for worship, but this psalm is preparing them for what they have to face after worship. That when you leave this place, when you place your trust in God, when you place your faith in God, you'll no longer walk alone, that God will be with you as you go out. As you make your way back home, God will be with you. As you make your way back to your job, God will be with you. As you make your way back to school on your campuses, God will be with you. And you no longer have to walk alone. But that requires you to know him as your Lord. Where does your help come from? The true source of help is the Lord. And on this day, I want to invite you to accept his help. Allow him to be magnified in your life, that you will know him as a keeper who will never leave you, who will always hold you, and who will always be there for you. It is through his gift of grace that we are restored into our relationship with God. Through his gift of grace, we are set free from the guilt of sin and shame. Through his gift of grace, we have the assurance that we are children of God, and that he is always there and ready to help us, because we all need help, and God is the help that we need.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.